We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Do it
from the great movie Caddyshack. Some say one of the greatest, in fact, I say one of the greatest comedies of all time when you combine Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and Rodney Dangerfield and Ted Knight and all those great, a lot of them dead, by the way, except for Chevy, all in one movie. You're going to have a great comedy, and that it was, Caddyshack. Of course, a movie about golf, but not really. Nevertheless, Atlanta and the state of Georgia has been the target of conversation a lot of the week on the Bernie and Sid Show, when I wasn't here, and when I came back yesterday, and certainly around the country. As you know, Atlanta, of course, moved the Major League Baseball All-Star Game out. I should say baseball. Moved it out of Atlanta under the tutelage of Commissioner Rob Manfred. They've moved now to Denver, Colorado. And a lot of folks can't figure that out. Bernie and I talked about this yesterday. Why would you go from Atlanta to Denver if you're upset about the voting rights in Atlanta? Why would you go to Denver? And as it turned out, this is the WABC Clip of the Day, brought to you by Chris Libertini. As it turned out, our good friend Brian Kilmeade, who comes on right after me and Bernie every weekday here on WABC, he was asking the same question yesterday morning.
What a statement Major League Baseball made. Look out. They really stand for something. There's a boycott of Georgia now. Think about all those people, from the parking attendants to the T-shirt salespeople to the hotel operators. All won't be getting $100 million worth of money into the system, badly needed in Atlanta, because no one read the bill and they were so scared to stand up to it, they just flipped over and just played dead.
So baseball's out, but here's what's not out. Coming up in about an hour and a half, a young American guy by the name of Hudson Swafford is about to tee off. What time is Tiger teeing off? He won't be. I guess no coincidence that the news came out yesterday that Tiger Woods' accident a couple of weeks ago was caused by high speed. There were no toxicology reports, but that comes out a day before the start of the Masters. So, Bernard, first of all, good morning. How are you, pal?
That's what I'm saying, Sydney. What's up, my brother?
How are you?
I could be worse. You know, right. It could be a lot worse.
Right.
Listen, Tiger Woods, maybe it was a good thing that happened, that accident, because now he's not on the spot.
He's not.
You're going to participate in that racist state in Georgia, Tiger? You're a black man.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. And so, he'd have to participate because the Masters, especially over the last 20 years, has been the Masters because of Tiger. So you're right, he would be put on the spot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Are there any black players in the tournament this year?
I believe there's maybe one or two. I don't even know.
Ooh.
I don't care about color. I don't follow it. I didn't even know Tiger was black.
Oh,
in fact,
well,
last I
you
checked,
gotta get woke, bro.
Well, no, Tiger on the Oprah Winfrey Show, when he had the opportunity early in his career to represent himself as a black man, he said, no, I'm Kablan Asian, which is part Caucasian, part black, part Asian. He refused to be that guy, the black guy on the golf course.
Yeah, he did. Hey, listen, Sheriff Villanueva on not even giving Tiger a ticket for 80. And I don't care. I don't care. I like Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
But what he said was, he says, because nobody saw it.
Yeah.
I mean,
no crime if you don't see it.
You actually have like that car actually had sort of a black box.
Yes, it did.
But nobody saw OJ kill those two people, right?
Oh, not that we know of. No, but just the dog.
He was still charged.
Yeah, he was charged. Yeah.
Well,
but he got off.
He did.
Yeah.
Because nobody saw it. So maybe the sheriff knows what he's doing.
Well, I don't know. But again, that is the news. The All-Star Game out of Georgia, but not the Masters again. And I love this tournament. I will watch it today through Sunday. Jim Nantz, our good friend CBS, on the call. But again, quick to point out the hypocrisies. I'm very aware of all of them. I don't like them. I don't like what baseball's done. I don't like what they've done to the small business owners and the everyday folk in Atlanta, Georgia. Quite frankly, it's gross, but I will watch the Masters starting today.
Yeah, what it is they don't put their money where their mouth is. The Masters didn't move out. They're staying there. So
I know.
Good for them.
Yeah.
CBS, though, they were the ones who were screaming, corporations have to speak out against this Jim Crow law of this which is all false, by the way.
Yeah.
But CBS isn't pulling out.
No.
Because it would hurt their bottom line.
It would hurt them
so
badly.
We're going to stay here. We're going to cover the Masters in this Jim Crow state of Georgia.
Yeah.
And we're going to profit off it.
Well,
so screw the hell
with it. There is a bottom line there, Bernie. It's a lot of money. And I distinctly remember walking down Broadway and 93rd Street 2 years ago. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. There were people sitting outside. This was pre-COVID, of course, 2 years ago, not last year, 2019. And I remember people, literally women and children and men, screaming, sitting outside at these cafes on Broadway because for the first time in a very, very long time, the aforementioned Tiger Woods was about to win a major tournament. And not just a major tournament, but the Masters. Take us back 2 years ago. This is Jim Nance and CBS on that epic call.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Here's Joe Nolan with the traffic. Joe?
Someone falls to pieces, sleeping all alone. Someone kills the pain, spinning in the silence, finally drifts away.
Late, great Chris Cornell, audio slave. This one is Be Yourself at 6:42 on your Thursday morning.
Catches a bouquet, another less a dozen white roses on the grave.
You may remember, right, when he killed himself, his good buddy Bennington, who was the lead singer of Linkin Park, he killed himself because he was so upset about Chris Cornell doing it earlier. So, very sad story. Hey, anyway, folks, we got a big show coming up today, starting at 7:40. The head of the GOP here in New York State, big Bernie and Sid fan, Nick Langworthy, set to stop by. Of course, it's Thursday. That means the great Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. And the hero of the 1969 New York Mets, that great catch against the Baltimore Orioles and aiding the Mets to that improbable 1969 World Series win over the Baltimore Orioles, our good friend Ron Swoboda, coming up at 9:25 as the Mets, who just lost 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia, have their home opener this afternoon in Queens, over 8,000 fans at Citi Field, as the Mets get set to host Derek Jeter's 1-5 Miami Marlins. But busy day yesterday for the governor. Spoke about a bunch of stuff, and once again, as I went over the audio this morning with Matt Meany and, of course, you, Bernie, I was just annoyed. I mean, I guess he said some stuff that matters, but every time the guy speaks, I get annoyed. Can't help it.
Yeah, he should shut up, right? just dummy up there, you, huh? Well, he's on the, of course, on the front page of the New York Post again. One of the accusers, as you saw, Sydney, has spoken out. She's given an interview to the Albany Times Union on that, her being summoned allegedly to the governor's mansion to help him with his cell phone. And the detail is that he requested a selfie with her. And while they were taking the selfie, he did sort of a reach around and went up her breast. And she was like, you're crazy. You're going to get us into trouble, blah, blah, blah. He says, I don't care. I don't care.
Who cares?
Who cares? I'm the governor. I'm saving New York State. Don't you understand? I need some relief. Anyway, the idiot was out there yesterday. And, of course, he couldn't resist. He said a reporter asked him a question, and he made a really stupid remark. Listen.
Hey, governor.
Hey, Peter. Remember me? Tall, good-looking, blonde hair, blue eyes, button nose.
Long time no see.
I yeah. mean, what a cringeworthy little exchange that was. And then, of course, remember the Buffalo Billions?
Of course.
One of his buddies went to jail.
Only one? I thought a couple went to jail.
At least one. The Prococo guy.
Well, he did some serious time, I think.
Yeah. So, whatever. Either way, the whole thing there was, it was green energy. It was green energy. There have been other examples of Cuomo trying to, pander with this green energy nonsense. It never works out. Never works out. These Democrats don't know what the hell they're doing. Of course, he will not allow fracking in this state, which would really, really help it out a lot. And anyway, this big bill that they just, well, they haven't passed it yet. He hasn't signed it. But a lot of it is green energy stuff, which is what he talked about yesterday.
We're going to be the green energy capital of the nation.
Wow.
Period.
Period.
Everybody says the future is the green economy. Every politician gets up and gives that speech.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Only you idiots.
No, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't work out. Did you hear Donald Trump do that?
No.
No, no.
No, you hear Joe Biden, of course, is doing it. But do you trust these Democrats to dismantle our energy the way it is now, our energy infrastructure, like, say, you know, firing 11,000 pipeline workers to replace it with whatever they have in mind? All of this crazy stuff, it's just as Nick Langworthy said about the bill, it's woke insanity. It's a microcosm of this particular bill, which is what, $212 billion?
Stay woke!
Joe Biden is spending $2.5 trillion. So, again, we're just being, the inmates are running the asylum, and we are dead. Look, a tourist yesterday from Kansas, he was actually, he was shot. He was shot in the arm. He came here from Kansas City, actually. I guess the headline there is that there was actually a tourist in New York City. but he was shot at 38th and 2nd Avenue. And apparently he went to the Mets-Phillies game yesterday. Mm-hmm. The day before, excuse me. And he
Mets in Philly.
Right. And he took a train back, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And then he was going back to his hotel at 2 o'clock. He was going to go to the Mets opener today. He's a fan who wants to attend every stadium in the country, every game that he can. He's on one of those missions.
Okay. He's a Met fan. He's going to travel the whole country watching the Mets?
Well, this is what he was going to do.
Right.
But after he got shot,
oh boy,
they took him. He went back home.
Oh,
I mean, he wasn't seriously injured. They did take him to Bellevue, but not to examine the gunshot wound, to examine his head as to why he visited New York City in the first place as a tourist.
Well, things are opening up, Bernard. We got good news today that Memorial Day weekend, the beaches, unlike last year, will be open. And the week after that, in early June, unlike last year, the pools will be open.
Yeah, they remembered this year. Remember last year? They were like, oh, my God, it's June already.
Not they. One person, Bill de Blasio.
Yeah, Bill de Blasio. What am I going to do? Nobody reminded him either. So it's him and his people. Idiots.
1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. As always, that's the number. Nick Langworthy, Bill O'Reilly, and New York Met hero Ron Swoboda. But it is 6:47 on your Thursday morning.
Your arms around me are tender and warm. My arms are meant to hold you. Your arms and my arms, one more is there to say.
For you at 6:53 on this Thursday morning on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. The Mets, their home in Queens, coming up in a couple of hours. They'll take on the Marlins and day one of the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. That's all coming up later on today. I keep waiting for you to walk in, Bernie, and like glow in the dark or have one of your ears fall off or something odd to happen to you and your body, but you look great once again this morning.
Because of the vaccine?
Yes.
Because I got vaccinated on Saturday?
They're actually shutting down some of the vaccination centers. The Johnson & Johnson shot seems to be having an adverse effect on a bunch of folks. But
well,
you look great.
Well, thank you. I heard about the AstraZeneca, the one in Europe.
Now it's Johnson & Johnson here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then don't take it.
Somebody's penis fell off, actually, is what I heard. I don't know.
And stay away from, speaking of Johnsons, right? Stay away from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
But you, I mean, I do know people, including our very own Juliet. She had a very tough time.
Tough,
she missed a bunch
tough.
Of days at work.
Tell
but
you
you've been
easy.
Great, right?
I've been great. My wife, Carol, of course, she received the vaccine on Saturday as well, just like I did. No after effects, no nothing. Squat. It's just, I feel great, yeah.
So if somebody took you to the side and said, hey, Bernie, give me your honest opinion. I want to get vaccinated. I think we should all get vaccinated, but I'm not a big vaccination guy, and I am worried about the side effects. You would say what?
Well, everybody, to each his own. Do whatever you think is best. The only reason I did it was my wife, Carol. She loves me so much.
Yeah.
She made it so easy. I wouldn't go to, Jones Beach and wait and drive and wait. I wouldn't do that. She made it so easy for me that all I had to do was, it was Saturday afternoon. I worked out a little bit in my house, went to CVS, got the vaccine, bought some stuff. And then went to the gym and continued my workout. I mean, it was a minor inconvenience, very minor. But I would never go out of my way. If she hadn't done it, I would not be vaccinated right now. And some of the things they say about the side effects is that who knows, maybe 10 months down the line, maybe 2 years down the line, it will affect you at some point. They couldn't possibly have studied that.
No, it's impossible.
Point.
So did she make sure you guys got these shots just based upon health? Or is she concerned that we're going to have to go through this? That kind of this passport vaccination identification, and she wanted to make sure that if you guys wanted to travel, move around, that you were in fact vaccinated. Or was it just about the health?
I would say it was the health.
Just the health.
We have friends who have gotten it, and it was fine, and it's just about health. Yeah, I mean, it's the Trump vaccine, ladies and gentlemen. You can trust it. It has been tested, except long term, now that I've received it, and I will get my second shot on April 24th.
Oh, you only gotten one shot so far.
Yes, you get one, and then about 3 weeks later, you get the second one.
Now, again, out of ignorance, do most people suffer these side effects after the first or after the second?
Juliet told me yesterday, she said the second.
The second, okay.
But I just don't know. Our friends, they've gotten it. No problem, no reactions, no nothing.
All right, big guest list coming up today. 7:40, the head of the GOP here in the state of New York, Nick Langworthy, stopping by. 8:40, Bill O'Reilly. 9:25, former New York Met hero, Ron Swoboda. But there is breaking news, major, major breaking news. Something Bernie and I discussed with a guest last week, and it turns out this guest is going to keep true to his promise. You have to tune in at 7:25 to find out exactly what we're talking about. A huge announcement from a big-time guest live on the Bernie and Sid Show coming up at 7:25. Make sure you keep it right here. You know, there's actually a little bit of me. And again, don't forget, coming up at 7:25, major guest, major announcement. First, right here on the Bernie and Sid Show. So keep it right here coming up now in less than 30 minutes. 67 degrees, sunny, little breezy today. I got my my daughter, Ava. We celebrated her birthday last night at Peter Luger in Brooklyn. Her boyfriend, Toby, is here. He's dying to go to a Met or a Yankee game. Gabriel loves to go to baseball games. I really want to go to that Met Marlin game today in Queens at 1 o'clock, but I need tickets, and I can't just call Horowitz anymore.
You got to jump through hoops via testing and all that stuff as well.
Is that true now?
Oh, yes.
I know basketball is inside, but even baseball outside?
That's right.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
You're trying to keep me away.
No, I'm very informed. I listened to it on the news.
So somebody gave me three tickets right now. I couldn't even go.
You will have to be, maybe you'll get one of those immediate tests walk in.
$150 cash.
But you will have to, yes.
Ay. All right, well, I'll still take the tickets. If you have three extras for the Mets and Marlins, call the Bernie and Sid Show. We got four major guests stopping by. I mean it, four major guests. Keep it right here. A huge Thursday Bernie and Sid Show on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
She got the call today, one out of the gray. And when the smoke cleared, it took her breath away. She said she didn't believe it could happen to me. I guess we're all one phone call from our knees. We're gonna get there soon.
The head of the GOP in the state of New York, Nick Langworthy, set to join us at 7:40. He'll be here in about 30 minutes. Bill O'Reilly, 8:40, New York Met, 1969 hero Ron Swoboda, coming up at 9:25. But a major announcement, I mean major, folks. This is not just a whole radio drama. I mean it. Major announcement, major guest, coming up right here and only here on the Bernie and Sid Show, coming up in about 18 minutes. You are not going to want to miss this. Although this is a Radio 101 TSL, which is time spent listening. That's how you do it. You keep them interested, and then nothing happens, and it's fine. They still listened.
No, but something's going to happen.
Yeah, something big, right? All kidding aside.
This is no joke.
This is major, major
This is not
stuff.
April Fool's or anything like that.
No.
I didn't do that anyway. Do you do that stuff on April 1st, do you?
No, but by the way, we were instructed not to do anything. Because you have done stuff like that in the past.
I have.
You've like, I got a big announcement at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And then, or you make an announcement.
No, I actually got suspended one time in Miami because on April Fool's Day, I said the Heat traded Dwayne Wade. And I'm not kidding you. It went berserk. It was in the Miami Herald. It was in the Sun Sentinel. Folks were calling, getting crazy. And my coward boss, that P word, he suspended me for one day. He said, don't ever do that again.
You were like the Orson Welles of the sports world.
Have some fun. Come on.
But no, but you did something here. You made an announcement.
I was leaving, going to work for the Jets.
That's right. Yeah. They said, no more of that.
No more
and
of
that's
that.
That's why I think that's why they issued that edict.
Listen, I did get a bunch of texts from John Katsimatidis that morning. Where exactly are you going? I'm aware that they don't like that type of stuff. So, but I would have done it anyway because that's what I do. You know that.
Yeah. You would have done it on April Fool's? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not if you got a direct order not to.
Because I didn't get a direct order to wear a mask?
Okay. All right. Listen.
I fire the gun first. I worry about Dave Labrosi later. That's all.
We have that big announcement coming up.
That's a very, very exciting one.
That is
yes.
Very, very exciting. That is. And speaking of very exciting, you talked earlier about the Augusta. They're going to have the Masters begins today.
It begins in about 45 minutes. The American Hudson Swafford set the tee off at 8 a.m. There will not be any Tiger Woods, of course, coming off the horrible car accident. But, yes, the Masters in Augusta set the tee off this hour.
And no player has dropped out. Nobody. CBS is not pulling out of the broadcast, blah, blah, blah. They're going to continue business as usual. So we established that. But yesterday, a lot of people are wondering because Joe Biden said, listen, we can't do business with Georgia. You can't. Nobody can. You shouldn't do it. It's a Jim Crow state. But the press secretary of the State Department, this guy was asked about doing business with Beijing. As a matter of fact, boycotting the Olympics maybe because of, their human rights abuses, their concentration camps and all that stuff. And
the Uyghurs.
He actually said, among many other things, how about perpetrating the corona, the China virus on the world? Anyway, he said, yeah, they're considering it.
You seem to suggest on the Olympics that the U.S. is in consultations with allies discussing whether to consider or plan some sort of joint boycott. Is that the case?
Well, it is something that we certainly wish to discuss and that it is certainly something that we understand that a coordinated approach will be not only in our interest, but also in the interests of our allies and partners.
Wow, the Biden administration's showing some onions.
How about that?
That's pretty good. Now they asked.
They did nothing, by the way. They just said they will consider it.
Then about 3 hours later, they asked the smart-ass Saki lady down to the spokesperson, and this is what happened.
Our position on the 2022 Olympics has not changed. We have not discussed and are not discussing any joint boycott with allies and partners. We, of course, consult closely with allies and partners at all levels to define our common concerns and establish a shared approach. But there's no discussion underway of a change in our plans regarding the Beijing Olympics.
Let me remind you, Joe, that
State Department guy was promptly fired.
Of course. This Friday's payday, so there will be checks deposited into both Joe and Hunter's account from the People's Republic of China. If you want that direct deposit to go through, you're not going to bitch about the Olympics.
You know, Joe Biden spoke, I believe it was yesterday or maybe the day before. He spoke with President Xi for 2 hours. I mean, what the hell? It's amazing. It's a marvel that he stayed awake for 2 hours. But they never discussed the origins of the coronavirus. Never discussed it. I guess they talked about safeguarding Hunter's loot or something like that.
There you go.
But they never discussed the origins of the corona. That's very, very strange, right? Either way, we have this situation at the border. And speaking of smart-ass Saki, there were two terrorists, two guys on the terror watch list. As you know, it was reported yesterday. They came in from Yemen over the border, these guys. And now the Customs and Border Patrol, they were instructed to scrub that from their website, believe it or not, today. But Saki was asked about that yesterday as well. Listen to her, again, smart-ass response.
How concerned is President Biden about terrorists possibly trying to take advantage of gaps in the border to get in and kill Americans.
Well, first let me convey that these type of incidents are very uncommon.
Very uncommon. Now, they caught four about a week and a half ago on the terror watch list. Two of them 2 days ago. And they're very... All it takes is one. All it takes is one. One guy. One guy driving a truck down on West Street. One guy. That's all it takes. And how many got through... That how many came in that were not caught?
Oh, God. Who knows?
So these are Customs and Border Patrol people, of course. They're busy, you know, changing diapers and taking care of these poor kids that are coming up. So they're not, they don't even have the manpower to monitor the border. A lot of people are coming in. Those that will definitely be sent back, like these two Yemenis, they're not surrendering like the kids are. And so, again, all the resources are being sent towards the kids and the families that are surrendering because they know they're going to be allowed in the country. These guys are just coming in another spot. So that's what's happening there. And she says, well, they're pretty uncommon. Okay. Well, the next terrorist attack, we'll play that clip. And you explain that to the dead families of the future terrorist attack that may happen as a result of this policy.
Now, did I see, and of course it's not a shock, it's not a surprise, it's predictable, but Bernard, did I see Nancy Pelosi yesterday actually praising Joe Biden on the way he's handled the border? I did see that. She praised Joe Biden.
Probably. You know, it's, again, it's what you call gaslighting. It's a term the left used for a long time. But that's what it is. It's a total. They just bald faced lie, and then they make you think you're crazy. You make you think you're nuts, or they try to anyway. But we know better. They're just a bunch of lying, incompetent fools.
They're full of crap.
That's what they are, basically. Look, there's one thing. Miranda Devine. This was a big story that blew up yesterday for some reason because I don't know why. Anyway, Miranda Devine writes about it this morning. She talks about this United Airlines policy, where they want to hire 50% of their pilots. They want to make them, in a couple of years, 50% of them, they want them to be women and minorities.
Okay.
So essentially what they're saying is they want their pilot, they want a quota hire for their pilots, a certain amount. We have to reach a certain goal of people of color and women.
Yeah.
And that used to be called quota hires. But anyway, Miranda writes, her headline is, "No one wants woke-friendly skies."
I agree. Just get me to my destination. I'm terrified as it is.
Are you kidding me? Exactly right. I mean, I want a colorblind cockpit.
Me too.
And I want a colorblind society. I stand with Martin Luther King on this.
I agree.
Let's just get the best.
I agree.
I mean, do you want a doctor, by the way, that's that was advanced because of certain pigmentations or certain based on his genitals? No.
What?
You want the best.
I do have a Muslim doctor. His name is Ben Hurry. He's a great doctor, Park Avenue. And but I've never even thought about where he's from, none of that stuff. And he gives me free Cialis, so I like the guy. What?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Look, they say there's too many white pilots, all right?
Now,
Tucker Carlson pointed this out last night. Well, the NBA, black males make up 6% of the population.
NBA? It's like 88%.
6% of the population, black males, in the United States.
Oh, okay.
75% of the NBA players.
Right.
Or maybe even higher.
Right.
Do you want to extend it to that? That's how crazy, that's how sick it is. And there's one woman who works for the Joe Biden's Department of Justice. Her name is Kristen Clark. She's a tried and true Jew hater. And she also is she says blacks are superior to whites. Believe it or not, she actually said that. This is all Googled, documented, Google it, whatever. But Tucker actually called her out on this affirmative action for pilots 2 years ago, and this was the exchange.
Do you think that airlines should apply the same diversity rules you're calling for here? That they shouldn't take the people who score the highest on the pilot tests, but that they should hire also on appearance, the way people look?
Every workplace, whether you're talking about
pilots to heart surgeons
or federal agencies, should hire the best, but should place a premium on diversity.
Wow. And but Secretary which is more important, Zinke's, the way that you look or what you do, what you're capable of doing? So like when you're flying a plane, how important is it what you look like, your
incredibly
appearance?
Incredibly important. And it's also
appearance
important that we have.
Important.
It's also important that we place a premium on diversity.
Not really. I just want my pilot to be sober.
Listen. Exactly right. It just has to be, just forget a colorblind cockpit, right. A merit-based, you know, jobs. Nobody should discriminate. Absolutely not. No way in hell. And by the way, men of color are totally as capable as being a great pilots as white people.
Agreed.
So let's just all just take the same test and no favoritism for anybody.
I was saying that I would love to take my daughter's boyfriend Toby and my son Gabriel to the Met game today. It's their home opener, afternoon tilt on a gorgeous day in Queens against the Miami Marlins. And our listener Lisa Ganji, she loves this show, Bernie. She says, just heard you talk about the Mets game, season ticket holder here. Because of the regulations, they moved my wonderful premium seats for the month of April because of social distancing. I'm not going because the seats they gave me are terrible. I only get my seats back if they open up to 100%. Spent a lot of money on my seats. When I get my seats back, believe me, I'll have tickets for you, but the Mets screwed me. How about that?
That's too bad.
I mean, geez, these teams are unbelievable. They're just unbelievable.
This is your pilot speaking. We are flying at 30,000 feet. Hope you're enjoying your flight. The seatbelt lights have gone off. And I'm going to turn it over to my co-pilot, LeBron.
And this is where I would normally entertain you with, you know, LeBron.
But you can't do it anymore.
But I won't. I can't. Right. I won't. And I will not.
2003 on I Miss. It would have been a great bit.
In the past, it would have been.
I know.
You would have laughed, folks, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Well. Maybe.
That's where we are today. Creativity. Matt Meaney, every day we have a meeting about creativity. Hey, yeah, creativity. They'll call you into the office. Hey, we got to complain about this.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Some lady in Queens gets upset. It turns into 3 hours. Anyway, we got a major, major guest with a major, major announcement. We've been talking about it now for the better part of a half hour. So you'll get the Bill O'Reilly short one. We'll get Bill O'Reilly as a guest coming up at 8:40. And then the guest with a major announcement on Bernie and Sid is coming up next.
When I first went to the ninth grade in the high school, I was on some like, I'm not f***ing with white people.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos
I
right
just
there
got a text from one of our fine salespeople, the great Leslie Slender. This announcement better be worth it. I'm delaying the shower so I don't miss it. It is worth it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Our great state of New York, our city here in New York. If you've read the New York Post the last couple of days, specifically Michael Goodwin, you see that despite what Jerry Seinfeld and Corey Zelnick tell you, this city is it's going downhill. The state is, and fast, really fast. And I'm not sure online gambling, mobile gambling, and marijuana can save us all that quickly. We need real leadership. Real leadership, which Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio do not provide. Our next guest has provided that as a tremendous politician, congressman out on Long Island. And now, after promising Bernie and I that when, in fact, when he decides whether he'll run for governor or not, he would make that announcement on this show, he has now proven to be a man of his word. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello this morning to the most recent gubernatorial candidate, the pride of Shirley Long Island, our dear friend, Lee Zeldin. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. We have some work in front of us here next year and a half, but I am announcing that I am running for governor of New York. And as we discussed, as soon as we were ready to make that announcement, I was going to make sure that I was here right away to talk. We just launched the website at ZeldinForNewYork.com, and we need to save this state. And I'm going to need the help of both of you and all your listeners to get it done.
Well, that's an awful lot to ask of us, but thank you.
You'll get it. You will get whatever we can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do it.
And we appreciate you being a man of your word and announcing this candidacy as you promised you would right here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Lee, I know I asked you this a couple of weeks ago. I'm asking the same question today. Not if, but when you win, no disrespect to Giuliani's son, when you win, what is the first piece of work you do on day one?
Well, so the first thing when you get there is propose a budget. So right now the balance is out of whack. This is the first time in my entire life that you have one-party Democrat rule in New York City, Albany, and D.C., and they're destroying all these different levels of government. We need not just a political balance of power, but also a geographic balance of power. I feel like all New Yorkers should feel like they have a voice, that they're represented up in Albany. But what we've seen up in Albany, like this week, creating the highest income tax rate in the entire country. Why? Because they want to pay for a multiple billion-dollar fund for folks who aren't even legally in our country. We need to turn that around. And really, as soon as you come out of the gate in January of 2023, first thing you have to do is put out your policy priorities in a budget. And it's going to be a different direction for our state. Instead of attacking wallets, freedoms, and safety, how about we go in the opposite direction? How about instead of people fleeing, we make a strong case as to why businesses and people should be coming to New York? People are reaching their breaking point right now, and they feel like this is a last stand, a last great opportunity to save the state. And you can't waste any time right out of the gate doing everything in your power to turn it around. Strong message to those who are self-proclaimed socialists with outsized power up in Albany, with Democratic supermajorities in the Assembly and Senate, is that it's not one-party Democratic rule up in Albany. Now it's a balance. Now we fight to restore New York to its glory. And it's not going to be that hard for us to do it as long as we are focused on turning things around. And the biggest statement that can be made is by voters in New York, November 2022, so that we aren't stuck with more of the same, where folks start hitting their breaking points once again come 2023 and the problems don't turn around, they don't correct, and maybe it becomes too late for that many more.
Yes, well said. Congressman Lee Zeldin making the announcement on the Bernie and Sid Show that he is indeed, in fact, running for governor of the state of New York in 2022. Look, Governor, Congressman Zeldin, you mentioned the budget, a record $212 billion budget, which is twice the size of the budgets of Florida and Texas combined. And they each have larger populations than we do. And Governor Cuomo yesterday talking about we're going to be the green energy capital of the world. And meanwhile, we don't have infrastructure. We don't have fracking in this state. He's closing down the Indian Point nuclear plant. I mean, what would you do on energy as opposed to Governor Cuomo?
Well, for one, we have to have more natural gas. We need to have lower costs for energy. This isn't just for families, but also businesses. You know, the tax policy is important, but when you look at the energy costs, the insurance costs, the regulations, and then the way that you attack something like, for example, Amazon wanting to come into New York City, and then you chase them away, you harass them, you abuse them. Others are watching. You're like, I don't want to put myself through this. I was thinking about moving to New York, but not if all of these politicians don't want me and these community leaders are going to push us out. So on so many different levels, it's about the policy. It's also about the culture. Maybe business owners should be able to get return phone calls from Albany once again to actually have some respect. You talk about green energy. There's a whole other form of green energy that we are exporting right now. And it's when you raise the income taxes on someone who's more mobile than ever, and you think you're a genius and you outsmarted the system, and that taxes have no effect on behavior, and that people aren't actually fleeing. Well, you actually just lowered their tax rate to zero because they're giving you up in Albany nothing because they hit their breaking point and they are gone. So how about that type of green energy focus on as well? The environment's important. So is our economy.
Yeah. Lee Zeldin, again, making this major announcement, as he promised he would moments ago right here on the Bernie and Sid Show. He is, in fact, running for governor. We know you've got a busy day, obviously, putting your team together. Just think of us as your headquarters, Lee. Anytime you want to make a statement, you're welcome to make it right here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Once again, thank you for being a man of your word. Congratulations. And you know, Bernie and I wish you the very, very best.
Godspeed, Congressman.
Love you both. Thank you for having me.
We love you, too. There he is, Congressman Lee Zeldin, the newest gubernatorial candidate here in New York. I don't know what that means for John Catsimatidis. I just texted John. But I can't imagine John will run against Lee. So that's it. I think John is out. Curtis is running for mayor. Lee is running for governor. That's it.
You know what John Catsimatidis wants? He wants to bring New York back.
Right.
And whatever it takes, whoever is the best candidate, the most electable, he'll support If it's him, if it's himself, he'll run. If it's Lee Zeldin, he'll support Lee Zeldin.
Yeah, I think he's very close with Lee. I think they'll probably team together.
Great.
And that'll be a great 1-2 punch. Anyway, talking about Republicans and Lee Zeldin and John, we got a great Republican coming up next. In fact, he is the leader of the Republicans, the GOP, in the state of New York. Good friend of Bernie and Sid. His own remarks on Lee Zeldin running. Nick Langworthy with Bernie and Sid is coming up next.
I got hairy legs.
What? Folks, if you missed it just moments ago here in the Bernie and Sid Show, Congressman Lee Zeldin, the pride of Shirley, Long Island, made the major announcement. He promised he would. He was on the show about 10 days ago. He said, Bernie, Sid, if I decide to run for governor, I will make that announcement on your show. Now, I know, I'm aware that he was on Fox News and Channel 5. That's okay. That's TV. That's a different animal. Fact is, he made his first radio announcement right here on Bernie and Sid. Lee Zeldin is in fact running for governor. Yes.
As promised.
Yeah, good man.
A man of Iraq war veteran. Let's not forget that. It's a tremendous family man, and he'd be ideal.
Yeah, he'd be great. His commercials when he won, his twin daughters, so great. And in fact, Tom Sullivan, dear friend of ours, Mike Sullivan's brother, ran for office twice in Queens. He said, fellow soldier, he's got my vote. So, well respected, yes. Hey, talking about guys you have to respect, this guy is the chair of the GOP here in the state of New York. He's been on this show many, many times. Good friend of the show. Good Instagram account, too. Say good morning to our good friend Nick Langworthy. Nicky, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
How to have you back? Only because when I read your piece on the budget on your Instagram account yesterday, you actually used the word boondoggle. And when I saw that, I said, Langworthy now, I love this guy forever. You used the word boondoggle.
Boondoggle.
Yeah, explain why you use that word talking about the budget here in New York.
I mean, we're living in the twilight zone, guys. I mean, can you imagine in these austerity times of COVID, we have a budget to spend 11% more than we spent last year. And, you know, the most egregious thing and the thing that I think is going to have people of all party affiliations up in arms is this fund that's going to give federal stimulus dollars passing down through New York state government to illegal immigrants. $2.1 billion earmarked for over 200,000 illegal immigrants. They can get up to 25 grand in this situation. Now, to add insult to injury, this same budget only gives $1.1 billion for small business relief.
Wow.
So you see what the priorities of the radical liberals that are actually running this government in the Assembly and the Senate, what they're fighting for and who they're fighting for. And it sure as hell isn't the hardworking men and women that are paying the bills in the state.
Not at all. State Republican Chairman Nick Langworthy, New York State Republican Chairman. Hey, Nick, speaking of that excluded workers fund that you just alluded to, $2.1 billion to illegal aliens who had jobs that they didn't pay taxes on. It. Even the federal government in their big, speaking of boondoggles, their non-COVID rescue package plan, they wouldn't provide any money for those people. Governor Cuomo and the legislature in Albany decided to do it. But the silver lining may be, Nick Langworthy, is that you had the Democrats, radical Democrats and moderate Democrats, at each other's throats. You had the accusations of racism from the woke Democrats towards the liberal moderate Democrats, who were saying maybe this is not such a good idea. They were called racists, and it stung. In other words, their tactics came back to bite them in their behinds.
Well, but at the end of the day, it happened anyway. It's woke insanity. I mean, that's all you can say. Like, we have lost touch with reality in our state government. I mean, you know, we saw it in the city government, you know, starting, you know, at the beginning of the Blasio era. Now it's taken over the whole state, and they're chasing people out of here by the day. I mean, it's a pretty sad commentary where my counterpart on the other side, Jay Jacobs, has to play referee and say, well, let's not be calling each other racist now. That's all they do to the Republicans instead. But really, I mean, you look at this, and it shows the priority of what the people in elected leadership, whether it's Andrea Stewart Cousins, who's running the Senate, or Carl Hastie, that's running the Assembly, you know, they're holding this governor basically at gunpoint, because he knows his only way to stay and cling to power, because he's under so many scandals and investigations at this point, is to go along with this nonsense.
Yeah.
So you have the liberal utopian wish list that's been created in this budget process that he had to go along with part and parcel. You know, if he wasn't under all of these scandals right now, he wouldn't have even swallowed some of these ridiculous policies. I mean, a $4 billion tax increase on the job creators in this state, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to go run their companies from Florida, from Texas, from Tennessee. This is the beginning of the end. And, you know, that's why I'm thrilled to hear the announcement this morning from Congressman Zeldin, because there's only one way we're going to fix this state, and it is to elect a Republican governor.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Change
right.
The dynamic.
Well, there's no doubt. I wish we could elect a Republican mayor, too. This is the GOP chair, our friend Nick Langworthy. I want to ask you this, because I haven't done politics my whole life. I was talking about Eli Manning and Carmelo Anthony a couple of years ago, and I think there are more guys like me out there that listen to this show every day. They're kind of into this but don't know a lot. So here's the question. Now we've legalized marijuana. Now they want to legalize mobile betting. By the way, that should have been years ago. Those are good things, raising money, revenue for the state. If we don't tax the wealthy in this state, how do we get the money to pull ourselves out of this huge deficit? That's my question.
Well, how about we stop digging? When you're in a deep hole, you throw the shovel out of the hole. I mean, you have a situation here where our budget has now surpassed the budget of the state of California. Here's the only problem. California has twice as many residents as the state of New York. I mean, what's wrong with this picture? And that's just as liberal a state as New York. So we have, you know, certainly programs that spend too much money. And you eventually will run out of other people's money. This isn't the federal government that can just print more in deficit spend. This has to come out of people's pockets. And at a time where, if you believe Chuck Schumer, the federal government just rained $100 billion down on the people of the state of New York, between the city, the MTA, the state government, and all the other entities. And we still have to increase taxes $4 billion?
Wow.
I mean, you know, what they don't want to admit is they had a deficit before any of us even knew what COVID was, because their policies don't work. And we're running out of people to pay the bills. And that's going to become on steroids with policies like that. People are heading for the exits, and we have to cauterize the wound. We have to stop the bleeding. And there's only one way, and it's at 2022 governor's election. We have to bring common sense back to this state, and we have to do it now.
Exactly right. Nick Langworthy, state chairman of the New York State chairman of the Republican Party. You just spend less money. Instead of taxing more, you spend less money. That's how you felt you close the gap, the deficit that we have. Hey, Nick, I have to ask you about the Lee Zeldin's running for governor, but there were also other people considered to be candidates or considered to be possible contenders in the primary that will take place in June. I can't even hear myself. I'm sorry. Oh, in June. So, Elise Stefanik is one of them, and she's like a rock star in the Republican Party. What opposition do you think Lee Zeldin will face in June?
Well, I don't think anyone has the appetite for a primary. In the primary would theoretically be next June of 22. We're a full year ahead of schedule.
Oh,
and that's
right,
a wonderful thing for our party. We are, and it was one of my top priorities and why I ran for chair, to make this race the priority it needs to be, because I believe this is our last chance to save this state. We are starting that candidate selection process now. I actually have a meeting on April 19th. The first time I've gathered the county leaders of the state of New York in one place since COVID came upon us. We're going to have a meeting in Albany, and we're going to listen and hear presentations from any candidate that is interested in seeking statewide office in 2022. And we're going to lay out the groundwork for the screening process. I mean, you know, certainly I'd see, you know, Congressman Zeldin is one of the front runners, if not the front runner in this process. And, you know, Congresswoman Stefanik, I know, is giving it consideration on top of the great work she does for us in Washington. But then you have others like, you know, Marcus Molinaro and Rob Astorino. And, you know, I see Andrew Giuliani's thrown his name forward yesterday. I had a conversation with him. There is interest. There is a party that is alive and well. People see the need for us to be strong, to put a voice out there that's fighting for New York State taxpayers again and letting them know that, you know, they have someone looking out for their back.
Yeah.
That's what's so important here. And we have a whole ticket to build. I believe that 2022 will be the greatest red wave election since 1994. And our party in New York State will be there to meet this moment. And we are preparing. We are working day and night to make sure we are in the best position to win and to win for the taxpayers of this state.
We have to run here, Nick. You're always terrific. You're like the father of the GOP, so you can't pick anybody. So if I was to say to you, for example, Curtis Sliwa or Fernando Mateo, you'd be like, well, they're both my kids. They're both GOP candidates. So you really couldn't pick, so I'm not even going to bother asking you that. But excellent job here today. We love having you on, and continued success building that GOP party. Boy, we need it here in this city and in this state. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Nick Langworthy on the Bernie and Sid show. You know, this morning, just so you know, Bern, I have a cup of coffee at home, and it's either Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, doesn't matter. And I take it with me in the cab with my guy Gene, who drives you to work every day. God, I love him. And then I come here, and after my first update with Frank and Juliet, I have a second cup of coffee, and usually it's the coffee they've got here in the kitchen. So today, I had a cup of Barry Coffee.
Oh, Barry House Coffee.
It was great.
Yes, yes.
Great.
It really is. I'm glad to hear you say that. Barry House Coffee. It's B-A-R-R-I-E. Barry House. And go to WABCRadio.com right now. Register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House Coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on 77 WABC. Register now and good luck.
What a gorgeous day for baseball, huh? About 8,300 fans will be packed in Citi Field in Queens in about 5 hours when the Mets host the 1-5 Derek Jeter Miami Marlins, the home opener in Queens coming up later on this afternoon. I mentioned earlier I'd like to go take my son, my daughter's boyfriend, but it's a pain in the ass. Too many, you got to test, you got to do this, you got to do that. Not worth it, not even a little. You know, Bern, I'm still full this morning. We took Ava out for her birthday last night, celebrated my daughter's 17th birthday at Peter Luger in Brooklyn last night. And I'm still full. That porterhouse for two. The next day when you wake up, kind of like, what's your guy, Jimmy Hayes?
That's right, Jimmy Hayes out in Island Park. Jimmy Hayes Steakhouse. Very good.
Ronnie Marino, what is his name? Christopher's or something?
Well, that's Christine's.
Christine's.
Atlantic Highlands. That's an Italian restaurant.
Right. I know all your spots is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, so. I like that. You're paying attention.
I am. But when you have steak, are you full the next morning? Because I'm always full the next morning.
You know, it's funny. When I go to a steakhouse, oftentimes, because I go out to drink. I don't go out to eat. I go out for the alcohol.
To get hammered, yeah.
Really?
Right.
So I want something
light. Way to further the stereotype.
I want something. I don't care. I want something light. So you know what I normally order when I go to a steakhouse, believe it or not?
I'm afraid to ask.
And you're going to punch me in the face.
What is it?
And I'm ashamed to order it in front of the waiter. I order scallops.
Scallops?
Yes. Because it's light.
And it is light.
I can continue my drinking. It doesn't interrupt my buzz as much.
I love scallops.
If you eat a big fat steak and mashed potatoes and bread and all that stuff, I mean, you know, you can't.
No,
drinking's over. I mean, maybe one after dinner drink and that's that. Well, I don't want that.
I love scallops, but I can't go to a steakhouse and have scallops.
I hear you.
Just keep drinking. Just keep drinking. Eventually, you're going to get a buzz.
You get full. It's just not the same. You want to drink pretty much on kind of an empty stomach.
There you have it, folks.
That's me.
Scallops at Jimmy Hayes.
Stop.
Bill O'Reilly, Ron Swoboda, Lydia Reports, and Beat Bernie. We're just getting started on a beautiful Thursday in New York City. You can see Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, and Ted Knight now. Can't you? One of the great comedies of all time. Hey, Rodney, there you go, buddy. Caddyshack. Want to send a quick shout-out to three guys we saw last night at Ava's birthday dinner with Peter Luger. Listen every morning. Jason, Jimmy Clemenza. They love him in Neponset. and Mikey T, listening this morning and every morning to the Bernie and Sid Show. Yes, it was right here about 35 minutes ago that Congressman Lee Zeldin announced he was running for governor, is running for governor, 2022, here in New York. Big story, and we had it for you breaking live right here. The first radio show Lee Zeldin did was us. He did do Channel 5 and Fox News before, but we were the first radio show. Lee Zeldin is, in fact, running for governor. The great Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40 this morning. He's the highlight of the week and former New York Met hero. That amazing catch in the win over Baltimore in the 1969 World Series. Ron Swoboda, he'll be here at 9:25. Talking about sports World Series, there is a golf tournament that is teeing off as we speak. I believe Hudson Swafford, the American, is teeing off right now in Augusta, Georgia. You know, Bernie, they did the Augusta National Golf Club chairman did speak yesterday about the voting laws and all that stuff going on in Georgia leading up to the Masters. Here's what he had to say.
The right to vote is fundamental in our democratic society. No one should be disadvantaged in exercising that right. Wow. And it is critical that all citizens have confidence in the electoral process. There have been calls for boycotts and other punitive measures. Unfortunately, those actions often impose the greatest burdens on the most vulnerable in our society. And in this case, that includes our friends and neighbors here in Augusta, who are the very focus of the positive difference we are trying to make.
Well, he, you know, he really went out on a limb. Everybody should be able to vote. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, of course. But he didn't say anything really there. He said the right thing at the end, of course, that the people they purport to want to help get hurt the most.
Yes.
Which is the case when you pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta and all the people counting on it in 3 months from now, they get screwed. Completely screwed. $100 million worth of revenue at the very least.
Gone.
Yes, and a lot of it black, you know, owned businesses, et cetera, workers, all that stuff. But still, none of the players are boycotting the state. No, there are some black players in the I know Tiger Woods is not there.
Well, he's not there.
Fortunately for him, the silver lining to the car accident was that he wouldn't be put on the spot. Hey, Tiger, are you going to boycott the Masters this year? Atlanta's Jim Crow. Come on, Tiger.
You know, it's a good point you bring up. I'm not sure who would do that to him. Like ESPN wouldn't do that. Jim Nance, CBS wouldn't do that. And I don't think he'd be doing an interview with Peter Doocy.
Well, it's a good point, but
who's going to do that to him?
The mob on Twitter.
Maybe social media, right.
Yeah.
Because talking about Tiger, we're not that far removed. I have to play this. Only because it was such an emotional event 2 years ago. As I left the gym on Broadway and 92nd and walked back towards my apartment, Tiger was on 17. And as I said earlier, women and children and men were screaming, literally eating at outdoor cafes on a beautiful Sunday, day four of the Masters, when Jim Nance made this memorable call just 2 years ago. Who would have thought Tiger Woods would once again don the green jacket?
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory. I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997, but we just did.
Excellent call. So while the Masters is teeing off as we speak, the baseball game, as Bernie pointed out, did move out of Atlanta. They're now going to Denver, Colorado. No one can figure out, knowing the voting laws in Denver, Colorado, why they would go from Atlanta, Georgia to Denver, Colorado. And the man that follows me and Bernie every morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC, Fox and Friends host Brian Kilmeade, he provided yesterday's WABC clip of the day when he said this.
What a statement Major League Baseball made. Look out. They really stand for something. There's a boycott of Georgia now. Think about all those people from the parking attendants to the t-shirt salespeople to the hotel operators. All won't be getting $100 million worth of money into the system, badly needed in Atlanta, because no one read the bill and they were so scared to stand up to it, they just flipped over and just played dead.
Very good. Everything I've been saying for the past few days. Very well done, Brian Kilmeade. Look, Faye Vinson, he was a prior baseball commissioner. Prior, Was he a while ago?
Well, Rob Manfred took over most recently for, what was the guy's name again? I forgot already.
Bud Selig.
Bud Selig, that's right. Well, Faye was the guy that actually kicked Pete Rose out of baseball.
He wrote an article, Faye did, yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, entitled Rob Manfred's All-Star Error. The commissioner politicized baseball over a law he likely hadn't examined.
Wow.
And then he concludes with this. The situation calls to mind the 2006 Duke lacrosse case when many erred, like Mr. Manfred has here, by leaping to a conclusion based on assumptions rather than carefully considered facts.
Wow. Faye Vinson coming
Faye
down.
Vinson.
That's, and now listen, I was shocked by this. Explain this to me because you're much smarter than I am. I admit that every day. Even Stacey Abrams. You remember Stacey Abrams? She got murdered in her bid for governor in Georgia.
Well, wait a second. She says no. She says she won that election. She contests the results of an election. So I guess that makes her a domestic terrorist, right?
I guess so. Yeah, well, you're right. There are people on the Upper West Side, for example, that still think she won. I'm not sure why.
Right.
But she came out and she was very critical of Rob Manfred's decision. Why would she be that? For a moment there, at least,
She's talking out of both sides of her mouth.
Oh, she is?
Completely, totally. She was part, her and Al Sharpton were part of a group of people who urged Rob Manfred to take the All-Star game out of Atlanta. She's a liar. She's, again, talking about, she bought the domain site called Jim Crow 2.0. She bought that weeks before the law was passed, before she knew what was going to be in it. And the law is, again, innocuous. It just makes it easier to vote, harder to cheat. And by the way, yesterday, Rasmussen came out with a poll. 73% of black voters support voter ID. 73%. I've seen higher numbers. 81% of non-white voters support it. So, Stacey Abrams, what do you say to that? Joe Biden, Steve Cohen, Rob Manfred, what do you say to that? That black people agree with it. What are we, stupid? Or, I mean,
I don't know, but I feel like you're yelling at me like I'm on your side.
That's true. That's true. But, these voter laws, they were passed by duly elected representatives of the people. This is how the system works. So, anyway, Stacey Abrams, again, like I said, talking out of both sides of her mouth. She conspired with everybody to move the All-Star game. But she did say this. She did come out and she said she didn't want it to leave. Listen.
I understand the passion of those calling for boycotts of Georgia following the passage of SB 202. Boycotts have been an important tool throughout our history to achieve social change.
Yeah, but,
to our friends across the country,
but,
please do not boycott us.
So what do you say? She's on the one hand, boycotts are very effective, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, please don't boycott us. She's a liar. And she's a domestic terrorist also because she's refusing to accept the results of an election in 2018.
Yeah.
But there she is. She is the star. She is the media darling, Stacey Abrams.
Tiger Woods, talking about Tiger, back to the Masters for a second. They are going to leave his chair there at the dinner. They have a big ceremony, a big dinner on Sunday night, when, in fact, Dustin Johnson will give somebody else or keep the green jacket. And I guess they bring back all the living winners of the Masters. They have this big...
Oh, isn't that nice?
This big bougie hoity-toity dinner on Sunday night. They're going to leave Tiger Woods' chair there like they do for Elijah for Passover. He's not going to be there. You know, he's got two broken legs and he's all banged up, but the chair is going to be there.
Well, that's nice. I'm informed by our producers that there are no black players in this year's Masters. No. I guess a person of color would be Vijay Singh.
Yeah,
but he's Asian. They hate the Asians, don't they?
He's Indian.
Don't the liberals hate the Asians? Or
yes, they do. Yeah.
So I don't know.
He still plays Vijay Singh?
Yeah, he's going to be at the Masters.
He once yelled at me in an elevator in Sahali, Washington, at the PGA Championship. He actually yelled at me. It's a long story. Doesn't matter. But
well, by the way, speaking of that Asians, they did arrest two people yesterday for anti-Asian crimes. One of them a black guy. The other guy a white guy.
A white guy
from Bay Ridge named. Joseph Russo. Joey Russo. Joey, what are you doing, Joey?
Is that Frankie Russo's brother?
I don't know. We're going to have to ask Frankie. But he perpetrated like two or three of these crimes.
Oh, he did.
And he's got a long rap sheet, so he shouldn't have been out in the street in the first place. But yes, so when it's... When they're black, if it's black on Asian, we'll report that. When it's white on Asian, we'll report that. Because we have to these days. You have to.
I guess.
In the world of identity politics, you have to identify people by their race.
So some stupid
Or you get fired.
Some stupid cuisine in Brooklyn is out there beating up Asian people. Moron.
Idiot.
Is he from, you said Bay Ridge or Bensonhurst?
Bay Ridge.
Oh, okay.
That's
Audie Idala's territory.
That's terrible.
There you go. We got
You said it, Chuck.
Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah, one more.
Oh, yeah, one more.
Andrew Yang yesterday, he actually remember I said, you heard that he came out and he was hard on the teachers union.
Yes.
Speaking of Asians,
yes.
That's what he reminded me. He actually flip-flopped yesterday. He credited Michael Mulgrew of the teachers unions. They got to him. He credited him for helping to better understand where the blame should land. And this is his quote. Mike, you and I had a productive conversation afterwards where you conveyed to me that it's been a failure of leadership on the part of the mayor who's trying to reopen the schools. Mulgrew's keeping them closed.
Yeah.
So he totally flip-flopped. He caved. Shows you the power of the evil, greedy teachers unions.
Is he still winning in these early polls?
Oh, yeah. He's, polls and donations.
Really, both?
By
a lot.
By a mile,
So Eric Adams is like a distant second.
I would say maybe by half or something like that.
Jeez, look at that. All right, folks, you got Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. Ron Swoboda, New York Met hero, coming up at 9:25. Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers Pete Bernie comes your way at 9:40. But coming up next, we'll talk to Lydia Serrani on Lydia Reports here on a Bernie and Sid on a Thursday.
I don't feel no ways tired.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world can change in just minutes. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family. Go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net. I found this TikTok. I'm cool now. I know what TikTok is, but I dabble in it a little bit. And there's this TikTok that's now kind of going viral where this reporter, he's going around and he was on college campuses and he asked these white students on campus about the Georgia reform law and why it's racist. And take a listen to hear their responses.
Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist.
I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African-American vote?
Definitely. Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
So these white woke kids said that black people don't know how to use the internet and don't know how to get a state-issued ID.
That's so bad. Wow. They don't even realize that they know not what they say. the racism is so ingrained, but yet they're so morally superior. It's unbelievable. Remember, it was Joe Biden who said that black people can't figure out how to use the internet, right? Wasn't it Biden said that?
Yeah.
At some point? Very insulting. Very insulting.
This reporter then went and asked African Americans, do they have state issued ID? Do they know where the DMV is? We'll play the audio, but even if when you see the video too, I'll show it to you, Bernie, later. Their faces are like, why are you even asking me this? Of course I have a state issued ID. Of course I know where the DMV is. Of course I know how to use the internet. But take a listen to it because it's just so ridiculous, this entire argument.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody any black person doesn't carry ID?
No.
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so like, we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with.
I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know it's that. It's on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is right here?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue.
I'll tell you exactly where it is. Oh, that's funny. Look, it's sick is what it is. Again, I mentioned earlier, the polls show it. They've been showing it consistently. Black people overwhelmingly support the idea of voter ID. going to the polls and showing who the hell you are. They overwhelmingly support it. Rasmussen just yesterday, 73% of black voters, 81% of non-white voters. The ones that oppose it probably say no because they know it's a political issue right now. But it's common sense, and it's so insulting. Forget insulting. It's just flat-out racist to imply that black people can't do it. And by the way, it's not just a ID or a driver's license. You can put in Georgia, you can put the last four numbers of your Social Security card.
Yeah.
You can put your your utility bill number on, yep, whatever, a range of options,
yes,
that you can do. So, I mean, again, talk about the big lie. This is the big lie.
I don't even know. That's the woke democracy. That's the woke hypocrisy. It's these small group of radical racists. That's what they are. Those kids, they don't even realize just how racist they are. To say that a black person doesn't know how to get a state issued ID, they don't know how to use the internet. I mean, she said it, this girl said it with such a straight face, that black people don't know how to use the internet. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe that. Well, that is such a racist remark.
You know, maybe she actually, here is, it was Joe Biden, and here he is saying the same thing.
A lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination.
Unbelievable. Unreal. And there was a funny meme, a lot of funny memes going around in the wake of that comment about, you know, you couldn't post it because you would get in trouble. But there's some real funny memes regarding the fact that black people and Latinos can't figure out how to use the internet or obtain voter ID. Really so insulting. That was great, Lydia. That was it was funny, but it was very, very sad. Very sad.
It really is. But I was debating whether or not to do this or Governor Abbott. He said he's launching an investigation at the border because, like you mentioned, Bernie, yesterday, now there's an official investigation. Maybe they're listening to to the show, but they were saying how children are being sexually assaulted. And it's an overwhelming crisis now. And the state is launching an investigation into this one single facility where one pod is only supposed to have 30 kids and they're cramming 500 kids into it.
Yes, and they don't have enough manpower to supervise it. And the kids are being sexually assaulted. Yeah, it's a five-alarm fire down in some of these facilities in Texas. And not only the Governor Abbott, but Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, man, he was fired up last night over that very issue as well. And you talk about, it's just a human rights abuse. And they looked at, and where's Kamala? Where is she? She's been in charge of the border now for 2 weeks. Has she visited yet, or is she just still laughing? I don't know.
Well, maybe black and brown lives don't matter to the woke radical left as much as we thought it did.
Apparently not. No.
Apparently not.
She's been in charge. When Mike Pence was in charge, was put in charge of the coronavirus response, the task force. I mean, he was given briefings every single day. He was on top of it. He was all over it. He was in charge. He was in command. And Kamala's doing what? She's going to bakeries and, doing stupid photo ops?
Actually announced yesterday that Mike Pence has a memoir coming out. So you may want to read that. Yeah.
Well, they rushed down when the Asian people were killed, remember, in Georgia. But I guess it doesn't matter that there's Hispanic children being sexually assaulted at the border. I guess that's not a crisis for them to go visit.
Nor 10 people being killed in Boulder, Colorado, by the way, because it was the wrong person that killed them.
Right. There again, it doesn't fit their narrative. Again, this Lydia Reports is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world can change in minutes. And as a parent myself, you can protect your entire family with this simple device. Go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net.
Thank you, Lydia. You can follow Lydia, folks, on Instagram at Lydia News 1, on Twitter at Lydia News. Listen to Lydia every weekday afternoon at 4. And of course, sitting alongside our buddy and great boss, John Catsimatidis at 5. Don't forget, Pete Bernie comes your way at 9:40, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Borders. At stake, a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry Coffee House mug. All that coming up at 9:40. But first, Coming up next, the highlight of the week, the man himself, the all-time great Bill O'Reilly, only right here with Bernie and Sid.
Kamala Harris is the best-looking attorney general in the country.
Let me tell you how it will be.
Well, I say it every time. Truth, he wants the best, he still is the best, he'll always be the best. Not sure where you get your news, but whatever it is, it ain't working. Just ain't working. There's only one place to get real news all the time. The best interviews, the best columns, the best analysis. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Also a prolific author of The Killing Series. Whether it's Crazy Horse or The Mob, continues to put out bestsellers time and time again. He is the highlight of the week and become a dear friend of this show. He is the great Bill O'Reilly. Good morning, Bill. How are you, pal?
Bill.
Gentlemen, and I use that word incredibly loosely.
as you should.
Yes.
Nice to have you, Bill. I was hoping you were going to tell me and Bernie that after this interview you were going to jet set over to Citi Field in Queens for a Mets opening day. But I think we've already decided we're going to go together come 9/11 when the Mets host the Yankees. Yes?
Yes, we're going to do that. And I'll catch a few Met games. The problem with the Mets is the games last 18 hours, you know? So as soon as the bullpen gets called in, you know, these guys, they don't have command of their pitches. It's not that they're bad. It's just that they don't know where the ball is going. They have no idea. So they run the counts 3-2, then they walk, they hit somebody, then they go out for sub sandwiches. It just never ends,
you're right,
you know?
You're right. It's brutal. It is brutal. So Bill O'Reilly, let's stick with baseball, okay? Let's go with the boycott down in Georgia, the Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, pusillanimous, I call him. Anyway, he fled Atlanta for Denver for the All-Star game. What do you think about all that?
Well, first of all, pusillanimous opened for the Doors in 1967. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was a big concert in Forest Hills. Look, here's the big thing about this boycott that everybody should really understand. You can accuse anyone or anything of being racist. So the game now is, if the progressives don't like something, no matter what it is, it could be a slice of pizza, it's racist. So that's the game. Everybody should know what the game is. If the progressive movement objects to a piece of legislation, a person, anything, it's racist. So you have this law in Georgia. I read the law four times, and I'm trying to come up with what Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, is objecting to. Now, Rob doesn't know what he's objecting to.
No, he doesn't.
All right? He doesn't know. I mean, there was an article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal by Faye Vinson, former Major League Baseball commissioner, that said that.
Yes.
Because Rob Manfred didn't read the law. Rob Manfred is afraid that his league is going to be called racist for some reason, and he wants to virtue seek. So he moves the game out of Atlanta. If somebody could tell me just one part of that law, I don't think it's the greatest law in the world. I wouldn't ban people from giving other people water while they're standing on a voting line. I don't think that's necessary. That's a little bit too much big government. But there isn't anything racist in the law. They're tightening it up so they have more control over the vote count. That's what Georgia is doing. It's not excluding anyone. And then there's an article yesterday in USA Today, which has become a communist newspaper. Did you guys know that? I hadn't read USA Today in years, but I was in Florida yesterday, and I actually saw the president, President Trump. And I'm reading USA Today. I go, this is right out of Moscow, this newspaper. But anyway, Stacey Abrams, the activist in Georgia, writes this big piece that says there are 200,000 people in Georgia that don't have ID. All right? But the Georgians say, we'll send you an ID. You know, we'll give it to you free. And then Abrams says, well, it's not really free because it takes time to tell the state to send you an ID. I mean, really, come on.
Come on. Right. It's
right?
insulting.
It's a joke. Come insulting. On. It's a
you
joke.
Know, it, yeah. it, it, so here's my question for Rob Manfred. In Canada, you have to show an ID to vote. You can't vote without an ID. Nowhere. Same thing in Mexico. Well, what about the Toronto Blue Jays?
Right.
Okay, are we closing them down?
And
are we closing them down?
Denver, Colorado as well, where he moved the All-Star
right.
game to.
I mean, come on. Makes no sense.
Right. So when Americans hear this kind of stuff, know the agenda is to intimidate any dissent from the progressive movement.
You know, here's why you're brilliant. You're going over this whole baseball story, as only you can. And you just kind of throw out there, oh, yeah, I was in Florida yesterday with the president, President Trump, as if we weren't going to hear that or the audience wasn't going to hear that. And you know, Bill, that while you're finishing up your statement about baseball, Bernie and I are sitting there going, boy, what was going on with O'Reilly and Trump
Damn.
Yesterday? So now that you put it out there,
yeah,
there is
sure.
no escape.
I don't mind. Listen, I mean, I'm not a guy that sneaks around and does anything furtively, word of the day, along with pusillanimous. So I hadn't seen Trump in a long time, and I was down in Florida doing some other things, and I have a project that I wanted to run by him. I can't tell you about the project because it might not happen. It's not right to do that. So he invited me over to Mar-a-Lago, and I actually had to put a tie and jacket on in Palm Beach, Florida. Ugh. I'm the only person in the entire region with a tie and jacket.
Oh, boy.
So I go over, and Mar-a-Lago is a beautiful place. I don't know whether you guys have ever been there or not.
Yeah.
But it's really, really a nice place. And I walk in, and we have a nice chat for about a half an hour. He looked good. He lost a few pounds. He wasn't yelling at me about the voter fraud. He didn't do that. He asked me if do you think I won? I said, no. You know, because I just talked to him like a regular person, but I'm respectful because he is the 45th president of the United States. But if he asked me a question, I'm going to tell me the answer. I did say I think there was fraud, but unless you got the Justice Department involved, which it was too late to do, you're never going to prove it one way or the other, which is true. You're just never going to do it. You need subpoena power. You need forensics. You need to do all that. And that's why these states, going back to Georgia, are tightening up the law, because they don't want this kind of chaos down the road, which every American should applaud. Anyway, President Trump looked good. I had a nice conversation, a few laughs. We made fun of you guys, Bernie and Sid. I said, I'm on WABC a lot now, and I'm with Bernie and Sid. He went, no, come on.
You know, he did his first radio interview of his presidency right here on our first week as the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show.
When we replaced Imus that week, our fifth show he was actually on. Yeah, he was great.
And that was shocking because he can't stand McGurk.
To the contrary.
It was me.
No, he likes it. He knows, well, McGurk's a fan of Trump's, but he knows that you guys were fair to him.
Well, you know,
you know what else he also knows? Because we were talking about a lot of media people. He knows you guys aren't pushovers.
No.
I mean, you're not in the propaganda business.
No.
And I, you know, when people say, well, how do you like WABC? I say, look, I like WABC. We're on at 9 o'clock, of course, every night. And then we do the update in the midday, which I think is going to go to 1 o'clock now, I hear.
Correct.
And then we do the hit for you guys shortly after 7 a.m. I said, I like it because it's not a propaganda mill.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not predictable. You don't know what the guys are going to say from sign on to sign off. You're going to get a good cross-section of opinion, and it's fun to listen to.
Let me emphasize what you're talking about right now. When he joined us, the president, now he was already friends with Bernie. He actually called Bernie in his backyard, spoke to Bernie and his son to come on the show. That's how close Trump and Bernie were and still are. But I had known Trump for a long time. Long story short, he comes on. I go, let me tell you something, President Trump. I didn't vote for you. I voted for Hillary. I thought you ran a sophomoric campaign. I wasn't impressed. But I will tell you this. Now that you're a year and a half in, I think you're doing an amazing job. So you tell us, Bill, after a 20-minute conversation, everything from the White House Correspondents' Dinner to the stock market to China to all that stuff, what do you think President Trump, during that interview, could only focus on?
himself.
The fact that and the fact that I changed his mind and I went from
Hillary.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
That's it. That's it.
You know, it's like Donald Trump's like two people. All right. And if you read The United States of Trump, the history book I wrote on him, you'll see that clearly. He when he gets into a project or a issue or a problem that needs to be solved, he has laser focus. And he gets right into it. And that's why he was successful with the economy. He neutralized our enemies overseas. They feared him. They don't fear Biden. And he finally solved the border by threatening Obrador with a massive tax on the cartels, designating them as terror units, as terrorist organizations. So he'll never tell you that, but I know that to be true. So when he was lasered in on these things, stuff got done. But then the second Trump is the guy who wants to talk about Hillary. Why? You know, why?
Yeah.
And if he could just knock that out a little bit, which I think he will, you know, going forward, because he knows the strength of his administration was his accomplishments. That's what I keep telling him. I said, look, it's all over. You got to look ahead. If you want to run again, you're going to have to sell the American people on your administration was much more effective than the Biden administration. And your philosophy of how the country should be governed is much better than the progressive philosophy. That's what you have to do. Take yourself out of it. All right? You can once in a while respond to people who are hating you. That's fine. All right? Although, you know what? I've knocked that out of my presentation almost entirely. I used to do a lot more of that. I used to zero in on the haters and these people. Now I just make fun of them. Because I just found that it was diluting my message.
Right, right, right. Very,
you know?
Very smart.
And Trump's got to, even if he doesn't run again, he's the most powerful person in the Republican Party. And what he did was effective. And he only lost the election because of COVID and because people didn't like his style.
Right. Very well said, Bill O'Reilly on the Bernie and Sid Show. And speaking of Joe Biden, Bill, a.k.a. Mr. Magoo, as I call him, but he's spending trillions of dollars. He's proposing to spend trillions more on this non-infrastructure bill, whatever the hell it is. You wrote a column called Comrade Biden that zeroes in on this. Tell us about it, please.
Well, look, Joe Biden is befuddled, all right? He doesn't really understand the big picture. That when you come in and you have right in front of you a diminishment of COVID, which is going to lead to a short-term surge in the economy, you just let that ride, Joe. You just let it ride, man. You don't go in and say, oh, I'm going to tax all the corporations. You want to do it a year from now. Get the country back on its feet economically. You dunderhead. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
That's fine.
I mean, but really, I'm a simple man. Is that complicated?
No.
You don't have to go to Harvard and take a macroeconomics course. Get out of the way. Let the economy surge because people are coming out of their house with money that you gave them.
And it's already doing that, by the way.
Right. But now they're going to pass this insane corporate and personal tax rise that's going to inhibit everything, and the corporations are going to cut back on research and development and hiring. It doesn't take a PhD to know that. So, yeah, you're woke. We got it. You're a virtue kind of guy. Fine. Just let the American people have a shot to recover what they lost during COVID. Okay, Joe?
Bill O'Reilly on fire. God.
That's my column, by the way, on BillO'Reilly.com.
That's right.
And I want people to go in. Look, I'm not an ideologue. I'm not. I mean, if you think that I think Mitch McConnell is a genius, you're blanking nuts. He's a turtle, all right? And he, you know, I mean, I have no regard. None. But I know what's going to happen when New York State and the federal government raises taxes, and it's not going to be good.
No, it's dead serious stuff. You're right about that. Well, so, listen, Bill, as always, this was...
I'm sorry if I got a little carried away here.
Sorry, that was an amazing appearance.
Exactly what we're looking for.
God, look at the
I
want to
be the baseball commissioner. You tell Manfred, he's got to resign, I'm taking it over.
I think you'd be great in that position. Hey,
well,
Bill...
we'll have a game in Atlanta, that's for sure.
Atlanta for sure. Hey, is that special still going on, the buy one, get one half price?
If you pre-order Killing the Mob, which is actually surging now in the pre-order category. You guys, well, you guys have the book. You know what it is. But you get 50% off Killing Crazy Horse, which is now approaching 600,000 in sales, which is pretty good when there are no bookstores in operation.
Right.
Well, you'll like that. You get 50% off Killing Crazy Horse if you pre-order Killing the Mob on BillO'Reilly.com.
Bill O'Reilly, 7 o'clock hour every weekday morning with us, 9 p.m. every weeknight himself on this station, and of course 8:40 every Thursday. Just absolutely brilliant. Thank you for once again providing the highlight of the week, and enjoy the sunny skies and the Mets. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me in.
The great Bill O'Reilly here on Bernie and Sid. Still more to do. Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers Plus. Talking about the Mets, 1969 hero, that great catch, helping the Mets beat the Baltimore Orioles in the 1969 World Series. Queens hero Ron Swoboda coming up next hour on Bernie and Sid.
I just try to keep it real.
This is one of my favorite songs. This is Down by the Riverside, live.
You are a victim of living. And the guilt that hangs around your neck has got me locked up in it. You've got to learn to live until no end.
All right, what a great show we've had already today. If you've missed it, I know that lots of folks taking credit today. New York Newsday, Channel 5, Fox News. That's all fine. But the fact is that Congressman Lee Zeldin made his first radio announcement. We're not competing with television. His first radio announcement that he will, in fact, run for governor in 2022. Right here with us, Bernie and Sid. Bill O'Reilly was great. Nick Langworthy still to come. Beat Bernie and Met hero Ron Swoboda. An exciting 9 o'clock hour is coming up right after Deb with the news. Great Born in the USA album back in the early to mid-1980s. As I'm Going Down by Bruce Springsteen.
I'm going down, 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 down.
All right. Great 9 o'clock hour coming up. The Metsies.
Can you not see yourself running to this song?
Oh, absolutely. Love this song.
Get you going, right?
One of my favorite Springsteen songs, so I'm right with you, Bernie. Metsies open up their home schedule this afternoon. They spent the first... Well, the first series of the year was postponed in Washington because of COVID. So they spent the last 3 days in Philadelphia. They lost the series, losing 2 out of 3 to Joe Girardi's Phillies. In fact, they got clobbered yesterday. Bad outing for starter David Peterson. So the Mets return home today. A 4-game set against Derek Jeter's Miami Marlins. Last year, the Marlins made the playoffs. This year, they're off to a 1-5 start. So the Mets hopefully get healthy. We'll talk to New York Met hero, a man that maybe made the most memorable defensive play in the history of the Mets, making that great catch in 1969 to help the Mets beat the Baltimore Orioles and win the World Series, Ron Swoboda. He's coming up next segment. And, of course, Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers' Beat Bernie comes your way at 9:40.
So Lee Zeldin made the announcement on our show early this morning, the first radio announcement, as you point out, but I will also say the first broadcast announcement, because Fox News is cable TV. That's where he initially made the announcement.
Good point.
This is the first broadcast outlet, radio or TV, that he made the announcement. So true to his word, Lee Zeldin, Iraq war veteran. He's running for governor. The primary is in June of 2022. We have a long way to go, ladies and gentlemen. And there are people like Elise Stefanik, who we talked to Nick Langworthy about this morning. There's some good quality people. There may be a primary fight. I don't know. I really don't know. I hope they smooth things out before it gets to that, because we don't want them to dirty each other up,
right,
or dirty one another up before, you know, the ultimate winner. And then he's all bruised and battered and whatever the hell it is, or she. Now, so that was Lee Zeldin this morning on the Bernie and Sid show. We broke news. That's right. We broke news. Now, the smug thug, Governor Cuomo, is on the front page, who he's going to replace, probably. He's on the front page of the New York Post this morning. This woman who accused him, one of the accusers, anyway, she gave an interview to the Albany Times-Union, and she details the sexual assault that he perpetrated on her, according to her. He summoned her to the a private mansion, and then, you know, under the pretense of, hey, you got to help me fix my cell phone. I don't know. I can't get the camera to work. So I guess they got it working because then they were taking a selfie.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
If SNL, I know you hate those people, hate them, as you should. If they ever called you in the spirit of Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump and that man right there and said, we want you to do Andrew Cuomo on the Saturday news, would you take it? Because you have become, and I mean this sincerely, I know we throw these words around, you're brilliant. You're not good. You're brilliant.
That's very kind of you.
Would you do it?
Of course, sure. I'd do it. Yeah, Saturday night.
So will somebody call?
I can have a few pops.
Lorne Michaels, please, and get my man Bernie to do Andrew Cuomo on SNL. You're great at it.
Who cares?
Roger, Roger.
I want you to have a conversation between Cuomo and Springsteen, because when you do the Springsteen, I get aroused.
You're putting
me
on the
spot.
Governor, I'd say it's time. It's time to probably time to fold them. Is all what I'm trying to say.
Fold what? Hey, listen, the smug thug. This is him yesterday.
Oh,
he's
great.
On the front page. So, getting back to the story, takes a selfie with the girl, and while they're taking a selfie, allegedly he does a reach around, puts his hand up her shirt, and starts grabbing her private parts, whatever. That's the allegation. And so yesterday he's doing a press conference, and he knows this is all out there. And he actually says this.
Hey, Governor.
Hey, Peter, remember me? Tall, good-looking, blonde hair, blue eyes,
blonde
button
hair,
nose.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Long time no see.
Little button nose, you know, the handsome guy that sits here and that ran this state. That I was the hero 6 months ago, now I'm a murderer, I'm a sex assaulter, I'm all this stuff. I got a big nose, the blonde hair is gone, but I still have the millions. So that's Andrew Cuomo yesterday. And then he went on to, believe it or not, I mean, this guy, talk about tone deaf. I mean, he's the cause of what we're witnessing right here in New York City, New York State, the death of a city and a state. He is the cause of it for a myriad of reasons, one of them the no-cash bail law. And just apathy, really. During the riots, he contributed nothing. No National Guard, no nothing. The sense of lawlessness has increased exponentially since the riots. He did nothing to help out on that. Forget about the budget and the money and the bankruptcy that we're facing. But this is what he said yesterday on crime and homelessness.
You look at our cities, the crime rate is going up and it's frightening. And people are scared. They are frightened. You have crime and random crime and death and shootings in a way you haven't had in decades. Homelessness is out of control. And it gives a sense of not only sadness that we have our fellow human beings living on the street, but it increases the sense of chaos and out of control. And we're incompetent.
Yes,
as a
bingo.
Government.
Bingo. He finally nailed it. But it sounds like, yes, it occurred to him like he just received a bullet in Governor Cuomo. Crime and homelessness is out of control. It seems like chaos, and people are feeling a sense of despair. Like they just handed it to him. Look at this. I didn't know this.
Maybe he saw Michael Goodwin's column yesterday, the front of the Post.
Exactly.
He needed that wake-up call?
He's the cause of it. So anyway, again, I use the term. I guess I'll continue to have to use this term gaslighting. Like he had no part in this disaster, in this catastrophe that is New York State today and New York City. Dave Chappelle gave an interview. He was doing Naomi Campbell's podcast. And I don't know if you recall back in 2019, Stephanie Grisham, she was the White House spokesperson. She did an interview and she said that when the Trump administration took over, they found notes in desks and all over the place, nasty notes. I hope you fail. You people suck. This, that, the other. She found them. They said, oh, you're a liar. They wanted Trump. They wanted her to be fired over making these allegations. Anyway, Dave Chappelle gives the interview does the podcast with Naomi Campbell and says this.
Remember when the Trump administration moved in, they said the Obama staff left dirty notes for us in all the drawers and all the cabinets. Now, I saw this happening. I'm not going to say who did it, but it was celebrities writing all this crazy and putting them all over there. And I saw him doing it, so when I saw that on the news, I laughed real hard.
Well, guess what? He succeeded wildly. He succeeded beyond anybody's expectations.
That sounds so good.
He lost the election. Yes, he did. We can talk about that another time.
By the way, as far as I know, he left a very nice note.
Yes,
Joe Biden
did. No, these are the classless people, and Trump is a classy guy. Let's face it, he really is. If you ask me, he punches back, he fights, and he's rough around the edges sometimes, but all for a good cause.
I got to hand it.
Thank you, President Trump. Now, somebody who really, really pales in comparison to her predecessors. This Jen Psaki, compared to Kayleigh McEnany, compared to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's just horrible. Circleback Psaki, smart-ass Psaki, I call her right now. She was asked about the two terrorists were caught at the border. She was asked about it yesterday. There were four caught last week. Nobody knows how many are getting through without getting caught, but this is the question. Listen.
How concerned is President Biden about terrorists possibly trying to take advantage of gaps in the border to get in and kill Americans?
Well, first let me convey that these type of incidents are very uncommon.
Yeah, very uncommon. So all it takes is one.
One.
That's all it takes.
Gotcha.
And how many are getting through, again, at risk of repetition,
that
we don't know about?
Tons.
So when with the first terror attack, we go to Jen Psaki and say, well, they're very few. There were a few and far between. Explain that to the dead people's relatives and see how she does. Anyway, she's just a complete and total smartass, is what she is. Which, speaking of which, she was asked about Kamala Harris not going to the border. She's been in charge of the border now for about 2 weeks. And it's just gotten, speaking of exponential, to use that word again, it's gotten exponentially worse. And we saw about the kids. The kids are getting raped and sexually abused in the facilities and this, that, the other, and terrorists coming through. So take a listen to this.
Vice President Harris has been put in charge of addressing the root causes of the border crisis. She hasn't visited the border or Central America or spoken to the leaders of El Salvador or Honduras. She was traveling this week, took time to visit a bakery in Chicago. I'm wondering, is she still working on this? And can you address the perception that she's kind of quietly backing off?
First, I would say the vice president was visiting Chicago actually to talk about COVID and the importance of communities getting the vaccine when it's available and accessible to them. And so while she was there, like many Americans, she got a snack. I think she's allowed to do that.
I mean, that wasn't the question. The question is, right, why hasn't she addressed or done anything on the board? Mike Pence was front and center when he was appointed as chief of the White House task force on COVID. Last thing, this guy, Jalen Rose, he's got a column, believe it or not, in the New York Post.
Jalen Rose.
I don't know if it's weekly or whatever.
It is weekly. For folks that don't know, he was one of the Fab Five with guys like Chris Webber and Juwan Howard at Michigan. Went on to become a very, very good NBA player. Indiana Pacers. Had playoff success. Big-time guy, NBA. And has spent many, many years since his NBA career as an NBA analyst at ESPN.
And he's got a big piece this morning about the UFC and Dana White. And it's entitled, Mixed Martial Arts Has Made Sure Come a Long Way. And he quotes Dana White, quote, this is Dana White, I used to make this bold statement 13, 14 years ago about the UFC would be the biggest sport on earth. And Jalen Rose writes that in 1996, John McCain, who hated it, he referred to mixed martial arts as human cockfighting.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
it
boy.
Is brutal. It is savage. But
such a douche.
Oh, wait a second. That's John McCain.
Come on.
Now, look. Anyway, he says, does Dana White, it doesn't matter what color you are, what country you come from, we're all human beings, and fighting is in our DNA. We get it. We like it. And I absolutely, positively love it. The biggest, the latest is the baddest man on the planet, Jorge Masvidal, is going to fight Kamaru Usman.
That's a big fight.
That's coming up in about a week from Saturday.
That's a big fight.
Huge. Every weekend you get big fights on ESPN or ESPN+.
from the UFC. It's just terrific. The sport has taken off like you can't believe.
Well, today is not a big game necessarily in Queens. It's game 4 of 162. But it is opening day, and that's always very, very special on a gorgeous weather day here in New York City. The Mets about to open up at home with a record of 1-2, hosting Derek Jeter's 1-5 Miami Marlins. First pitch now about 3.5 hours away. And talking about the Mets, we're going to talk to an all-time great New York Met hero, man that made that catch in the 1969 World Series win over the Baltimore Orioles, making a return visit to the Bernie and Sid show. He loves us. All-time Met great Ron Swoboda on Bernie and Sid is next.
Everyone on the roster, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Hey, I saw somebody who looked just like you. She walked like you do. I thought it was you.
Dedication to Dave Labrosi, who loves the stylistics like I do.
I do as well. I love this genre.
Oh, the whole 70s. So
yes,
great.
The 70s. The
best.
Black music in the 70s. It was crossover stuff. It was great. I mean, there's so many groups whose names I forget, actually. But it was terrific.
Labrosi loves
stylistic.
Yeah, these guys were great. And they must have like 10 great songs.
Next, you got to play Betcha by Golly.
Wow. Oh,
right.
Oh,
yeah. There you go.
There you go.
That's a great song. I mean, I do listen to it.
Betcha by Golly.
I'm sorry? The Spinners, exactly.
Yeah, yes, that's another great one.
So many.
The OJs. Yeah, they're all great.
Yep. All non-Motown people.
That's right. Very good. Thank you, Dave. Good to see you, buddy.
Carry on.
Not that we have anything against Motown, but...
No. This is a little different genre, but just as good. Right. Hey, before we get to the great New York Met, Ron Swoboda, I do want to ask you, what's going on with Matt Gaetz? Any change in that story?
Well, any change? I guess some more details. Look, it seems clear that he was involved in, some sordid sexual escapades.
He was involved. Was he finding women online and paying? Backpage?
First and foremost, it was all consensual. And that's the most important thing. It was consensual. Now, the sticking point is he's pictured. I guess the one thing he has to worry about legally is that picture that they allege that he's with a 17-year-old girl.
He says it doesn't exist.
And hopefully he's right. But it's still, even if it does or it doesn't, he was involved with this dude down in Florida who's in prison, I believe, right now, on sex trafficking charges. Oh. He was somehow or other involved in it. But the New York Times put out a story and said that, and it got wide play all over the place, Matt Gaetz asked President Trump for a pardon.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
President Trump put out a statement yesterday and said, never happened.
Oh, boy.
Never happened. And look, I mean, for Trump to say that, you would think that if the New York Times knew that there would be some sort of way to prove it or some paper trail. So, I don't know, whatever. Mm. I mean, how can you prove that somebody asked somebody else a question in a conversation? How would the New York Times know? It's fake news probably from the New York Times. President Trump says, no, it never happened. But so far, they haven't charged Matt Gaetz with anything. Now, also, he claimed that he was being extorted.
Correct.
And it turns out that, the guy admitted, the former, a DOJ official?
He's a DOJ guy. He admitted that he asked his father for $25 million.
He admitted, so therefore, there you go.
But it's different. He said, I did ask his father for $25 million, but I never used that as extortion money. I just asked his father for money. And I was not extorting him.
Well, it sounds like, of course he's going to say that.
But could it be both? This guy wanted money, but at the same time, Matt Gaetz.
Well, that's what, again, we don't know. We don't know the full story right now.
Yeah.
It's not good for Gaetz. It's not really good for Gaetz.
It looks bad.
But again, he didn't do anything illegal. And,
well, we don't know that yet.
And if we want prostitution legalized, we can't condemn Matt Gaetz for whatever he did.
I agree. You're right. Unless he did something illegal, then
yes,
it doesn't matter
exactly
what you and I think. I mean,
no, exactly yeah. right. So, but if he didn't, if there's no sentence, I'm sorry. What was that? What happened?
I could just hear Imus right now if he was listening to this conversation. Oh, these two Neanderthals.
There's two morons. prostitution. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Mr. Oh, he was a very virtuous individual in his old age. But when he was young.
Oh, he was an animal.
He was an animal.
Give me a break.
Please.
Please.
Right.
Give me a break.
He is without sin cast the first stone.
Right. There's a lot of Imus stories.
Or else dummy up.
That you'll never know about. Folks out there will never know. Hey, I do want to put this number out there, folks. Your chance to beat the smartest man in New York City and the country, my teammate, my partner, my main man, Bernie McGurk, is coming up next segment. It's called Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers Beat Bernie. And we're taking a contestant right now, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And that's the number to call right now to play Braun and beat Bernie.
You know, we talked about this yesterday, mulling a run for governor of California after Newsom gets, gets the recall thing.
Yeah.
Is, of course, as you pointed out, Caitlyn Jenner. And it turns out that Brad Parscale, who used to be Trump's, was he the full-out campaign manager
He was a campaign manager for a while, then he was digital. And I told you that when I saw him do that two-part series with Martha McCallum, when she was still on primetime, 7 o'clock on Fox News, I thought it was a fascinating conversation. I actually like Brad, but he ended up like naked in his driveway in Florida.
With a gun, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, he kind of lost it a little bit. He went wacky, but he's about 7 feet tall. Anyway, he says there's a lot of credence to this, and he may participate.
No kidding.
With Jenner.
I want to see that.
I'll just
Caitlyn
call
Jenner and Brad Parscale.
You can't call
that?
Him. You can't. According to the United States Congress, you can't say he or she.
Right. Just say
so
Jenner.
You say you can't say he's going to run. You can't say she's going to run.
What about it?
So you have to say it's going to run.
It's terrible.
According to the United States Congress and Nancy Pelosi,
what is happening?
We have to be gender neutral. So it is going to run for governor.
All right.
Apparently,
all right.
And according to Miranda Devine, Hunter Biden has designs on getting into politics.
I saw that. Well, that'll be a fun debate if he ever gets that far, Hunter. We're going to take a short break. That's what we'll do because Ron Swoboda, Met Hero, and Beat Bernie are still coming up. So we'll take a short break, come back, and talk to Met Hero Ron Swoboda on Bernie and Sid.
Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time. And it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate. And listen to this crowd.
Wow. Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days, folks, at home run, which moved Hank Aaron past Babe Ruth 47 years ago today. 47 years ago today. And ironically, that was in Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta. And the baseball world has their eyes on Atlanta right now. Not because the Braves are any good, they're up to a rough start. And our next guest was such a great baseball player, part of that miracle Met team that beat the Baltimore Orioles in the 1969 World Series, had that very memorable catch out there. Here's the catch that, of course, helped the Mets win that World Series. He's a super guy. He's been in the show now two or three times. We love him. Here he is, all-time Met great. He's a Yankee, too. Ron Swoboda. Ronnie, welcome back.
Hello,
Sid, Bernie,
Ron.
How are you?
So nice to be with you guys. How are you doing? And, you know, it's interesting. I was on the Braves roster in spring training that spring before Henry Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record. I got released right at the end of spring training.
Wow.
And that was the end of my major league career. And I so much wanted to be there when Hank hit the big one.
Wow, that is a great... I didn't realize that. You were there, too. You were everywhere. Yankees, Mets, everywhere.
Yeah, they were loaded with young outfielders. Yeah. I was kind of running out of baseball career, and I did get to hang around with him a little bit in that spring training. What a man amongst men was that, Henry Aaron.
That Brave team was the first to have three guys in the same season, the first at 40 or more home runs with Hank Aaron, Darrell Evans, and former Met manager Davey Johnson. But getting back to Atlanta for a second, Ron, before we get to your book and the Miracle Mets, very controversial decision. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, has decided to move the All-Star game. They've moved it from Atlanta, Georgia to Denver, Colorado. You have any real opinion on that whole issue?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the legislation that created difficulties with people getting out to vote. I think that's tragic. I think it's anti-democratic. We know what it's about. You know, we know who's making the power play there, and that's a sadness. If you boycott it, if you yank the All-Star game out of there, you're costing a whole bunch of people a lot of money. And I don't know that you're going to change the law with just that gesture. It's going to have to happen politically and separate from all of that. You make a point, and the point is well taken. I'm just so sorry it all has to happen that way. You know, it's interesting because we are so polarized now in a way that even back in 1968 and 69, with the Vietnam War raging, with thousands of U.S. GIs dying every month in Vietnam, and yet we were not as polarized back then with identity politics blossoming, anti-war protests, feminism, gay rights, all of that percolating in our political and cultural systems back in 68 and 69, but we weren't as polarized back then. Interesting how that has torn us apart.
Very interesting. Especially, it didn't permeate the sports world, for example. Certainly not baseball back in the Mets or anything like that. But we are speaking to Ron Swoboda, a great guy on the Bernie and Sid Show. His book is Here's the Catch, a memoir of the Miracle Mets and more. It's now out in paperback. Ron Swoboda, of course, since we last spoke to you and since you put out the book initially, your famous catch that really saved a man who passed away in the interim of you putting out the book, which is Tom Seaver. That catch, I believe Tom Seaver was pitching when you made that catch, right?
Well, Tom Seaver started the World Series for us, and he pitched to the first pitch of the game went over the right field fence. I should have made the play. I was in right field then. So in game four, Seaver's back on the mound in the ninth inning. First and third, we're leading by a run, and I owed Tommy that one. You know, I didn't realize I could do it. You know, I use a quote in the book. You know, if your reach doesn't exceed your grasp, then what is a heaven for? That's Browning's quote. But I feel in a lot of ways that's what happened. I really went beyond myself and made a play that how they talk about putts on the PGA Tour.
Yes,
what
yes.
are the odds?
Right,
you know,
right.
1 in 10. This is 1 in 100, I think.
Well, I did mention earlier that Hank Aaron, Darrell Evans, and Davey Johnson were the first trio on the same team. The Atlanta Braves hit 40 home runs together in the same season. Ironically, Davey Johnson, the great Met manager, was the last out of that World Series when, in fact, you guys beat the Baltimore Orioles to win it back in 1969. He flew out to end the World Series. Hey, Ronnie, it's great to talk to you, pal. Good luck with the book. We'd love to have you inside studio.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. Thank you so much.
If I get back and I can be there, I would love to do it. You guys have been great.
Well,
thanks
too.
An awful lot.
You are very, very
our
welcome.
Pleasure. Our really. Pleasure. Our honor, actually.
The all-time great Ron Swoboda. Here's the catch, a memoir of that 1969 Met team. And, of course, the Mets about to open up their season at home today after dropping 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia to the Phillies, hosting Derek Jeter's 1-5 Miami Marlins this afternoon in Queens. All right, it's time now for Beat Bernie.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Let's do it. Pasquale out of Bayside, New York, spent 22 years in the NYPD, also a bartender. Sounds like a very interesting and cool guy. And here he is. Pasquale, good morning. How are you, buddy?
What's up there, Sid?
What's going on? What's good today? What's happening?
I'm up since 3:10.
Why?
I was in the gym. Oh. I just made some broccoli and cauliflower and a salad. I'm getting ready to... I made my lunch at 9:40 in the morning.
Oh, I love you. God bless you. Well, thank you for your service all those years.
Anytime.
As a cop. We love you guys. And I wish you the best of luck in today's game. Thank you for calling. You listen to us every day?
Every single day.
God, I love you. All right, here we go, Pasquale. Here's question number one. Kick some ass, okay, pal?
Do my best.
First published in America in 1885, what Mark Twain novel about a rebellious teenager who faked his own death was banned 1 month after it was published?
Huckleberry Finn?
Damn right. Damn right. Number two, Pasquale, which one of these 20th century world leaders died last? Was it Winston Churchill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Joseph Stalin?
Stalin.
Good guess. Close.
Oh, damn.
FDR died in 45. Stalin died in 53. Churchill was the last to die in 1965.
I just read his autobiography.
That's a good job. Number three, what was the name given to the drought-stricken southern plains region of the United States, which suffered a severe dry period and intensified the crushing economic
impact?
Yes. Very good. 2 out of 3 for Pasquale. Who's number four? Squally, in 2017, hackers hijacked Dutch Twitter accounts and posted in support of President Erdogan. He's the president of what country?
Israel.
Wrong, you're tuning in back of anthrax.
That would be, what do you eat on Thanksgiving? What do you eat on Thanksgiving, Pasquale?
Turkey.
Yeah, there you go. Number five, chance to go 3 out of 5. What was the last name? What was the last name of the man whose autobiography was titled The Life of Buffalo Bill?
William Cody.
Yes! Hey, Pasquale, you played very, very well. You got 3 out of 5.
I'm pissed off that I didn't get Churchill.
No, that's right. Okay. That's okay. You played very well, and I love your personality and getting up at 3 in the morning and cooking and the whole thing. I want to hang out with you one day.
You should.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
All right, I'll come to Bayside. I used to
work. I'll take you to Powerhouse Gym. We'll work out. We'll go down to Williamsburg and have some lunch at Bamonte's.
I'm there.
We'll have a great time. I'll even drive you home.
How do you know I like Bamonte's?
How about Esteem?
How do you know I like Bamonte's? No, that's Vinny Viola's favorite place, and I've been there.
Vinny is a friend of mine.
Oh, my God. We're hanging out on Bell Boulevard, me and you. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get to Bernie Pasquale, who's now friends with Sid Rosenberg, Bernie McGurk, and Vinny Viola.
You know, I already love Pasquale.
Just the name.
I just love him.
He's the man. 3 out of 5 right. We're going to hang out one of these days.
Former NYPD.
Yes, and a bartender.
I may get these answers wrong intentionally just so he can win.
Well, you need 4 to win. And my feeling is, I'm looking at this, I think you're going 5 for 5.
All right. Well, let's see.
First published in America in 1885, what Mark Twain novel about a rebellious teenager who faked his own death was banned 1 month after it was published?
Tom Sawyer.
Wrong, you two-legged back.
You did that on purpose?
Yes.
Huckleberry Finn.
Huckleberry Finn.
Did you really do it on purpose?
I did.
Well, you have to get the next 4 right to win then. Which of these 20th century world leaders died last?
Okay, 20th century world leaders.
Died last. Winston Churchill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Joseph Stalin?
Well, this one I'm going... I got it.
Yeah.
It's Winston Churchill.
Yes, very good.
In the 60s, the other two died... Franklin was in the 40s, and Stalin was in the 50s.
FDR, 1945. Stalin, 1953. Churchill, 1965. You're exactly right. Number three, Bernie, what was the name given to the drought-stricken southern plains region of the United States, which suffered a severe dry period and intensified the crushing economic impacts of the Great Depression in the 1930s?
The Dust Bowl.
Yes.
So that's two. I can't really lose intentionally, can I?
No, you can't do that.
But it's going to be close.
Hey, when the Eagles played the Bears in that Doug Flutie game, wasn't that the... No, that was the Fog Bowl, I guess, right? Okay. Number four, Bernie, in 2017, hackers hijacked Dutch Twitter accounts and posted in support of President Erdogan, president of what country?
Yeah.
He got this one wrong. I was surprised.
Yeah. I like that. You got the pronunciation down.
Yes, because it is spelled Erdogan.
Right. And it would be Turkey.
Turkey.
All right, so now we're tied.
Now you're tied.
So now I face a decision.
Well, you could be a dick and win, or you could just lose and still be a dick.
Excuse me?
Hello. What was the last name of the man whose autobiography was titled The Life of Buffalo Bill? You may not know this.
I do know it.
No, you don't.
I really don't.
No, you don't.
I do. Do I want to allow Pasquale to win? I know it.
Well, then give me a hint that you know it.
Well, it begins with a C.
That's correct. What famous former NBC Today Show host?
Yeah, we'll it's Kathy Lee's son.
Oh my God!
But I'm going to say it's Cassidy.
Cassidy, that is incorrect.
I did that just so that Pasquale can
I know,
win.
But you already knew that it was Kathy Lee Gifford's son.
I know that, but I didn't answer it properly.
I know. Well, it's a 3-3 tie.
So I would say that Pasquale wins the money, right?
No, it was a 3-3 tie.
Oh, wait a second. Then if he doesn't win the money, then of course it's Cody. I'm trying to allow Pasquale to win.
Listen, we're going to give Pasquale the money anyway. I've decided. Pasquale, welcome back to the show. That's how much we love you. Bernie,
you guys are unbelievable.
How do you like that?
I have to say.
No, you are unbelievable, Pasquale. Thanks for playing. You were great. It was a game effort. And
my pleasure. So, I had a great time.
Let me ask you, where did you, in your 22 years in the NYPD, where did you serve?
Brooklyn North.
Brooklyn North. And you were rank and file? Were you brass or what?
I moved up one time.
Right.
I was a sergeant.
Brooklyn North. That would be what for us?
The 8-8. The 9-0,
Bensonhurst, Brownsville, what?
No, Greenpoint, Williamsburg, more like, Brownsville.
Right. East New York, that area. Listen, we're going to send you the Barry House coffee mug. Put you on hold, Pasquale. You can talk to Johnny O'Halloran, and he'll fill you in on what you won today. You're a great contestant.
Thanks, guys.
I'll see you up at Bamonte's, me, you, and Vinny, okay?
Thank you.
Anytime. You got my information.
All right, buddy. Talk to you
Thanks,
soon.
Guys.
All right. Pasquale on Bernie and Sid, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And to close out the show, as we do always, your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid. It's coming up next on The Way Out.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
We got time for one more call. Oh, Tom Sawyer. A Monday warrior. Good song.
I see what you did there.
See what he did there? I love these guys. One of my favorite rock and roll groups of all time, Rush. Joyce is in New York City. She's on line 3. Good morning, Joycey.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello,
Joyce. I love you. Hi. Bernie, Sid, I just love you two so much. You are my replacement for our former president, President Trump, of course. My real president. Yeah. I adore that man. He just gave me, I don't know, there was something about him as a man and everything.
Isn't that nice?
No, he was.
I can't tell you how much you guys brighten my morning. Believe me. Well, even better than the greatest cup of coffee I could ever drink, believe me. I can't tell you. I mean, I just love that man so, so much. I mean, I do him in an instant. But anyway.
Get her out.
He was a man of strength and courage. He was refreshingly non-PC.
Did you say I would do him in an instant? I got to be careful.
Say that?
I don't know, because we thought yesterday the lady said Ava will still love you even after 21 abortions.
Right.
And she said boyfriends.
Right, right, yes.
Right.
Yes,
exactly. But I could have sworn that lady just said, I would do him in a heartbeat.
Well, I think she was, you know, as men and women feel the same way about President Trump.
Fine.
You know how I felt about him.
You did him.
I tell you, I got to hand it to
him. I appreciate that.
He never forgot.
I kind of did, figuratively speaking.
Well, you did, yes, yes. But, hey, we are done for today. We hope you enjoyed the Thursday edition, as you should be, of Bernie and Sid. We got a great show coming your way tomorrow. John Tobacco, we got a Newsmax guest, we got Lauren Conlon, we got Arthur Idala. It's going to be great, folks. Enjoy your Thursday afternoon. Let's go Mets in Queens as they take on the Marlins. It's going to be 68 and sunny. Talk to you tomorrow, guys, at 6:30. Until then, from all of us to all of you, peace!